You know, it's like Proverbs chapter 28, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, when a man's really got something from God, if he's really right with God, he's as bold as a lion. You can't shake him, you can't move him, you can't do anything to him. He's as bold as a lion. No matter what you say, he's not guilty of it. Therefore, he doesn't flinch in his spirit, his mind, or anything else, because he knows that he's right with God. But you take a person that isn't right with God, or a guilty person that knows that they've committed a crime, though a police might not be within a mile of them, they have a guilty complex and they're always running in their spirit. Same way with the wicked, people that don't live right, you know. You don't line up with God, you don't line up with the mind of God and the ways of God, and you're always running and the devil's right after you, just as hard as he can go, and you're always running, always tore up, because you're under condemnation. The wicked flee when nobody's after him. Just the guilty complex causes him to run, just run till he runs his life away. But the righteous, you don't faze them, because they know they've done no wrong. Therefore, they have no guilty complex. And though you threaten them, it doesn't bother them, because they know that you're lying, because they know their heart and they know what they've done. So it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. You know, there's another thought here before we get to what we'd like to talk about. It says a continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I want to read just a little bit from the New Testament. I wonder how many of us tonight are really making an effort to go on with God. I want to read a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, turn to chapter 8. And I tell you, if we was as faithful to our cause as these pestilence are to theirs, we'd really get the job done. Chapter 8, over in the book of Romans. Okay, Romans chapter 8. We'll read down the first verse. If you got your Bibles, we'll read a little together. I tell you what, I'm going to do tonight like I did the other night. I got Brother Taylor to read this. I think I'll get him to read more than just that chapter. Okay, Brother Taylor, if you will, come up here and read the 7th and the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, while he's reading this, I'd like for you to listen to it real close. There's some wonderful things that are said here. And you know, I realize that you don't realize that this is the rapture taking place. And I realize that no matter how much I tell you it is, you still are not going to realize it until your eyes come open and you see it for yourself. If you ever see it for yourself, nobody won't ever have to try to convince you anymore, because there's no way you can deny it then. But if you don't understand, if you don't see, you just don't see. The Bible teaches that a person cannot receive anything save it be given him of God. And I'm not scolding you. I'm not trying to upbraid you. I feel sorry for you. If a person don't understand, they just don't understand. Now, it isn't because they cannot understand in the sense that God gives them opportunity, but it is in the sense that they will not apply themselves. Therefore, by foreknowledge, God saw from the foundation of the world that they would not apply themselves, though given opportunity. Therefore, by predestination, they were cut off and cannot see and cannot come into the knowledge of God. So I feel sorry for them. But at the same time, I want Brother Taylor to come, if he will, read this. And I want you to listen real careful, folks, because the word of the Lord is life. And when you hear these things, don't just say, well, he read that passage, I've heard that before. You better listen real close, because this is the only life there is. And if you want eternal life, then this is eternal life. And you better take heed how that you hear it, and you better listen real close, because it's going to pass by you, and as Brother Branham said, it'll go right through you, and you won't get it. He said this last move, said, folks, it will go right through you, or through the church. Said, they'll never get it. And that's true. Only the elect will get it.
Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things, then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I'll let Brother Taylor read quite a bit, because I wanted you to get a little scriptural foundation for a few words that I want to say to you. Folks, this is a matter of life and death. You know, if you had something that you knew was a matter of life and death, you'd pay attention to it. Say, well, I pay attention. I know you come to church. I know you listen. But you take my word, many of you are not paying attention. You're not getting it. You're not getting it at all. Now, when it's over, it will be over. There won't be any going back. There won't be any seconds. When it is over, it is over. And I ask you to listen. I ask you to pay attention. I ask you to try. If you say, well, I just can't because, then it is because you are not one of the predestinated. It is because you didn't want to. You didn't love God enough to get down to business, make yourself really get down to business with God, therefore you missed it in the foreknowledge. God saw that you would be that kind of a person, that you would be gullible for the things of this world, haughty, not submitting, be a non-submitting spirit. See, God doesn't look on you as a human being. He looks on you as a spirit. And from the foundation of the world, he knew that you would be this kind of a spirit, that your mind would be on the lust of the flesh, or gossip, backbiting, passions, making money, or that you would be gullible toward convenience, self-will, things of this world, that not as a human being, but as a spirit. You are a spirit in the sight of God. All people are as spirits. In heaven, that means in the spirit, in the mind of God, they are spirits. God doesn't see you as a human being. He says you will give an account to him. Your spirit will give an account to God for every deed that your spirit did while it tabernacled in this little human body. So you are a spirit, and God sees you as a spirit. Whether you be a spirit of selfishness, a spirit of gluttony, a spirit of hatred, a spirit of lust, a spirit of malice, or a spirit of kindness, a spirit of meekness, a spirit of long-suffering, a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of whatever it might be, love. God sees you as a spirit. You are a spirit. At death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Finished your mission in this world, all of a sudden, you depart the little house, you move out, and you go back to where you came from. Everything came from God, it goes back to God. Nobody can see it when it leaves the little tabernacle. Nobody sees it. It just moves out. All of a sudden, the little tabernacle is cold and still. It won't function anymore. Because when the life or the spirit or the inner man departs, in just a few hours, rigor mortis sets in. And your joints lock up. And even if they put you in a casket, if they don't get to you in time, They have to break your neck to make you fit the little pillow. When they lay you on the marble slab to wash you down with the hose pipe, they have a little old pillars. You've seen these little pillars that look like a dog bone. They have a little pillow that they lay your head on, and you freeze up in that position so that when they put you in the casket, they can put a little pillow under your head, because your head's already like, neck's like that, and you're froze like that. And I know it don't sound very good, but the truth is the truth. The best way to understand is to know. And when they pick you up, you are so stiff that a lot of times they can pick you up by your heels and by your head and just move you like a board and lay you over in the box. That's exciting, isn't it? But not to me. That's exciting to the spirit of death when it gets its prey. That's not exciting to human beings. Though that's probably the most comfortable place your body will ever be. Still, it's not exciting, is it? But yet, that's where you're heading. Brother Pike, why do you have to say all of that? To let you know this is a matter of life and death. If you don't get this, then you'll get that. If you could just go on your way like people would like to do and like devils and demons would like to do, never have to worry, just eat, 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 and never gain weight and eat and drink, you would never quit. If you could just make money and spend and ride and never get tired, you would never quit. The devils and demons that drives you would never stop. But God has got certain things that becomes a bridle of control to where He can control you and help you. One is if you eat too much, you're going to get fat. If you get fat, you're going to take heart condition and die. You're going to have all kinds of problems. Another is, if you go too much and just ride and ride, you're going to get tired. He's got all kinds of things that will help you. It's like when infection gets in your body, a fever comes. Though we try to do away with the fever and we fight the fever and we get alarmed at the fever, yet the fever is nothing but this. It's just, as we would say, the smoke alarm going off to let you know there's trouble. It's a warning. And to do away with the fever doesn't help the situation. You might keep it down to keep from damaging the brain, but really, the fever, it should be left there until you do away with the cause. Because the cause, the infection, or whatever, that's the problem. And you know, it works the same way in the spirit. God has certain alarms to help you. You know, you fly off the handle, as somebody says. You get temperamental. They say, well, I'm going to get rid of this temper. You'll never get rid of that temper because that's just an alarm that's been set off by that devil that you've got. You've got to get rid of the cause. The same way somebody said, well, I just can't keep my mind straight. I just lust, you know, and I'm going to get rid of this. But that hungering thirst of lustful passions, it's just an alarm, that's all. You're not going to get rid of that till you get rid of the devil that you've got. Backbiting, all of these other things. You understand what I'm saying? You got to get rid of the cause. When you get rid of the cause, you won't have any more problems. Somebody say, I just got to lose some of this weight. I think most of us could stand that. But we say, I just got to get rid of this weight. You know, I just got to get rid of it. I'm going to jog some. But you ain't going to get rid of that weight until you get rid of that devil of gluttony. See, remember, a fallen angel, a spirit. Man is a little lower than the angels, which means it doesn't require as much inspiration for him as it does an angel. An angel is on a higher plane of living, which means he requires more inspiration because he's like a giant to a man. Therefore, when he comes in your body, he overcharges your body. If you didn't have a devil of gluttony, then you would just eat normal. and you would just be a normal way. But you get that devil of gluttony, especially in the day we're living in. It said, as it was in the days of Noah, eating and drinking. Then there's your trouble. See, and that devil, he has to have twice as much to satisfy him, so you become a giant. Same way with lust. You can't be contented with one wife. You got to have two wives, and then three wives, and on, because devils have to have twice the inspiration. So then, working in the human bodies, they overcharge the passions, and soon you wind up as an insane patient. You wind up mentally ill because you've broken your nerve systems down by violating the order of reproduction. You've tore it all down, and you've wrecked your mind, you've wrecked your nerves, you've wrecked your health, you've got some bad disease or something is setting on you. Some people doing one thing and some people doing another. This is the problem. Now, you're not going to get rid of that until you get rid of the devil. When you get the devil out of your life, you won't want to suck on a weed and chew cud. You won't want to run around after dope or drink a bottle of beer. When you get rid of the devil, the beer will just go down the drain. The cud will be left behind. It's the same way with baseball players. Baseball players are filled with devils. Football players are filled with devils. A lot of professional men in the professional world are filled with devils. Doctors, dentists, millionaires, showmen, artists like Elvis Presley, a different one. That is a devil in them showing itself off. And that devil is a parasite living their life and giving that soul just to have that human body and have a little glamour and a few dollars. I want to talk to you about a few things that might be interesting to you. You know, you'll get up in the morning, you'll be feeling fine. Say, hey, Brother Taylor, I feel good. Been a little while, you feel sad. You'd love to commit suicide. In a little while, you would just love to give it all up, you know, and you feel like an outcast, and nobody cares, and after a while, you're down in the dumps, as the world says. Now, what caused that? It's the devil. Devils and demons that are cut off from God are like floating clouds floating through the air. Satan is the prince over those powers. And you walk right into the fog. All of a sudden you walk right into one of them. And the first news you know, that cloud has overshadowed your life and your mind. And like the chill of an early morning, you feel it all the way through you. And the first news you know, you're completely possessed of it. And you can't shake it loose. You feel everything's wrong. You don't feel you can do nothing. You're just in a terrible fix. The same way with the spirit of lust. You're sober-minded. All of a sudden it moves over you. And you're just so lustful that you just can't contain yourself, your passions. You walked into that fog. See, or it might be hatred. It might be bitterness. It might be murder. Or it might be covetousness to want to make $1 million or want to have a big business. Or it might be a spirit that you've walked into that wants to be a celebrity, wants to be famous, wants to be noticed, wants to do something outstanding so that people will take notice to it. See, I could go on and go on and go on. But then on the other hand, there are other kind of clouds. You may walk into one that will make you happy, that will make you joyful, that will make you think about Jesus. You may walk into one that makes you just feel loving and kind all over, or good and just want to share and want to give, or want to labor that you might have to give, or do something to make money to be able to help the poor and the needy. You might walk into one that will make you feel so humble and feel like you're nothing and just your mind keeps thinking God is so great and I'm just nothing. Whereas on the other hand, you might walk into one that makes you feel like you're self-dependent, that you know everything, that you've got all the answers, that that you're just as good as anybody else, that you've lived a real good life, that you've overcome, that there's nothing wrong with you, which is of the devil. You may walk into one like that, vainly puffed up, you know. You may walk into one that's charity. You feel sweet, tender, kind, loving, willing to help, willing to aid, willing to submit, willing to do anything. Just a charitable spirit, willing just to let people walk on you just to please Jesus. Well, on and on we could go because there's hundreds of thousands of spirits, legions of them. Sometimes a person may have, maybe they may have 5, 10, or 15 spirits. One may have a spirit that wants to chew on cud and smoke, and like the wrestler that came here. He had all kind of devils. He had a devil that wanted to wrestle with men. He had a devil that wanted to chew, was it Red Devil or Bully of the Woods? He had a devil that wanted to smoke cigars. He had a devil that wanted to frolic, and a devil of passion. And I tell you, he was just bound with devils. He had all kind of devils. You know Mary Magdalene, you remember how many devils was in that one woman? Now, some of you've got devils of temper, devils of deceit, devils of gossip, devils of backbiting, devils of lust, devils of jealousy, devils of hatred, malice, all kind of devils. Some of you got all kind of devils. But the Bible teaches that the Lord sent His word and cast out the devil. By His word, He cast out the unclean spirits. Now, I'm saying all that for a purpose. One thing is here, Brother Taylor pointed this out. So let's see if we can enlarge on it just a little bit as we go down the trail here. Now, a person with discernment can discern devils. Notice this. Now, Brother Taylor read this to us. Know ye not that as long as a woman's husband is alive, that she is bound to the laws of her husband as long as he liveth. Now, and it says that if she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. A lot of people say, well, I married another, but I went and got forgiveness from God. No, you didn't. It doesn't read like that. It says, as long as the husband liveth, if she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. It don't matter how many times she goes and asks his forgiveness. That don't have nothing to do with it. The word of God can't be altered. It says, but if her husband dies, then she doesn't have to ask forgiveness. She's free. She can go be married to another. Now, why is that? One reason is this, that if you are married to a person, you are one flesh. You're no longer twain, but you're one. Paul said this is the mystery concerning the church, Jesus and the church. You are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. You are no longer twain. You are one. When you are married, so as long as that husband lives, you are his flesh. And you are his bones. And until he dies, you remain the flesh and bones of that man. And to go to another person is to be a harlot. Now let's look at it. He uses this illustration in connection with the church, saying that if the husband be dead, and as Brother Taylor read to you, and as I've ministered to you a number of times, I'm not going to try to go into this because it would take me away from the thoughts I want to get to. But as I've ministered to you a number of times, and as Brother Taylor read to you, the law came, sin came, death came. I'm just going to put it in a compact way, so as to get to my other thought tonight. Here, you're married to the law by your first birth. No way to get away from it. You're married to death. Because the law brings the knowledge of sin and it brings death. We could say many things about it. But you are married to death. There is no way to get away from it. Not because the law is evil, not because the law is death. Not that, but because Lucifer is in your flesh from your first birth. He is in your flesh from your first birth. I want to take my time and break this down to where you can kind of feed on a little. How did he get in your flesh? Through your father Adam. Eve is the mother of all living. Through your father Adam. Adam is the father of all living. In this sense. It is a proof that he is. Because the Bible said in Adam, all die. All die. All die in Adam. That means that nobody could die outside of Adam. Death must come through Adam. So then, when you're born into this world, you take the blood life of Adam. In that blood life is death. Death. How did death get in? He got in through the weakness of Eve into Adam. The devil or the beast enticed Eve. She likewise enticed Adam. And when the spirit entered into his bloodstream, into his heart, it overpowered Adam's spirit. Adam, to that point, had never had a chance to develop a mind like you and I have. Because to develop a mind like you and I have, you have to go through the process of life, of do's and don'ts, good and bad, hot and cold. He never had a chance to do that. So then the Spirit entered into him just like an innocent child. It became a mind. God knew that this great mind of Lucifer was a god because he was an angel. And angels don't die. In heaven, you're equal to the angels. You cannot die. That is when you get to be a quickening spirit. So then this god, or this angel, Lucifer, which is a mind, is referred to as the tree of knowledge. Lucifer is referred to as the tree of knowledge. A little later down the trail, you find Jesus hanging on a tree so that he can be referred to as the tree of life. So then, the mind of Lucifer went into Adam. And it intermingled or became interwoven with Adam's spirit, which is the life or the mind. And that life or mind which fills all of the bloodstream in your blood cells, as reproduction took place, you were automatically born of that life and of that death that was in the life. Because what is death? Death is a knowledge. Death is a mind. If that isn't true, why did Adam and Eve die when they got the knowledge of the tree of knowledge? Why did they die? And if Lucifer is not a god, why did Jesus say now they become as one of us, as a god, to know good and evil? Lucifer already knew because he'd been cast out into the darkness, been made ruler of the darkness, which means the depraved side of life, that which is not of God. As a matter of fact, he was the beginning of that side of life. He was the beginning of darkness. He was the father of a lie. It all started with him. There was no such thing until he came. And we explained a little the other night of what caused that, and I hope sometime to enlarge on it a little bit. But what is death? Death is a knowledge. Death is thoughts. It is thoughts that genders unbelief or that separates the soul or the spirit from its creator. God created man. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And anything that will separate that soul or that breath of life from the great eternal spirit that created it, anything that will separate it from that means death. What is death? Death is a mind. Death is a knowledge.
Death is thoughts. What is life? Life is a mind. Life is a thought. Life is a spirit. What is the spirit of life? The spirit of Christ. What is the mind of life? The thoughts of life. The mind of Christ. This is why Paul said, "Be ye therefore transformed, changing your thought to thought, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from thinking to thinking, from believing to believing." And as each thought is revealed, that is, the nucleus is split, out comes the power of the nucleus, which is the inspiration that strikes your blood genetics through your innermost spiritual being and changes you into an eternal body, a celestial state of being. This is what causes Moses' face to shine. This is what caused Brother Branham's face to shine. This is what caused Stephen's face to shine. His angelic being was so illuminated inwardly that it began to show through the veil. This is what Paul speaks of as the manifestation of the sons of God. This is what is the rapture. The rapture is not your body going up yonder, like you see in Thessalonians, where you'll be caught away. You'll be caught away and you'll go up there. Isn't that right? Now, that's not what the Bible is trying to tell you. Your innermost being is to be caught away from this human body of lust and captivity and ego and ambition and desire. Caught away from this and moved into the body of Jesus Christ. You are to be divorced from the first man, Adam, which is under the control of the law. Let him die at Calvary, bury him in the grave, and then you are to marry the second man, Adam, he that is resurrected from the dead. Because the first man, Adam, denotes the tree of knowledge, going back to the law of Moses of the do's and don'ts, and sin gets its strength by that knowledge, and from that knowledge comes death. So then, if there was no knowledge of the law, there would be no death, because there would be no condemnation and there would be no unbelief. Unbelief comes from the condemnation, and the condemnation comes from knowing your guilt, and knowing your guilt comes from what the law has told you concerning your sinful manner, your contrary way of life to God the Eternal Spirit. Now, there would be no death. I teach the shadows, the types. And I teach all of these things walking through the valley of the shadow. In the time markers, in the time elements, in the stars, in the moon, the sun, the trees, all of these things for one reason. Within that type, in that shadow, there is a knowledge, there is an inspiration, there is a revelation. God, who is a spirit, has expressed himself through the creation. The Bible teaches that the heavens express or makes known God's handiwork. Everything is a type of something in the spiritual world. So then all of the invisible mind of God, the things of God, the thoughts of God, since everything consists within his mind, all of those invisible things are made known to us by the act of creation. All of the invisible things from the creation of the world, or the beginning of the creation, are clearly understood to our human understanding, or made known to it by the things which do appear. That is, if you can see the thing, discern it, know what it represents, know what it's a type of, then you'll find the mind of God. But you can never do that. You might illustrate and liken something unto something and think you've got a revelation, but you don't have a revelation. With your mind, you can never tell what anything means. It's impossible. But if the mind of Christ comes in you, and if it becomes interwoven with your mind, it will take everything in creation, everything that is in existence, and break it down piece by piece and put it together day after day as you seek, search, and desire. It will put it together as a puzzle until you see the glorious mind of Almighty God. And when you see that mind, it means then that you have completely been transformated to where your mind is no more a mind of things and of do's and don'ts. But your mind has become a mind of the invisible, unveiled, wonderful knowledge of the Almighty God. Therefore, since your mind has become so, it means that your body cannot remain in the conditional state of existence where things are in the sense of the act of creation. It means that your body must immediately go through a supernatural change and become celestial and be changed to the same condition of your mind. And when your body does that, it means that all of your surroundings that you once seen as things, as tangible matter, can never again be that. It automatically changes as the light comes forth. All of your environment changes to the celestial state of being or state of affairs that you ought to be related to throughout eternity. Now, God, knowing that we're like babies, knowing that if this great light should appear, and when you say light, knowledge, God who is the great knowledge light, knowing that if this great knowledge at one time appeared, or the mind of Christ all at one time appeared, He knew that that what is the world said, it would blow our mind, it would wreck us. 30 years ago, if this had come forth, it would have wrecked people. They would have thought that was insane. You take 50 years ago talking about going to the moon, it didn't take long for you to wind up in the insane asylum. But see, we've moved into a different age. God has revealed scientists, a typical thing of the mind of Christ, little by degree, year after year, day after day. And people have finally accepted it. They've developed into it. They've transformated into that world and that thinking. And you try to talk to some of them in our day about some of the primitive things back yonder, and it just seems weird to them, you know. They can't grasp that anybody could ever have done that. Now, but back there, you know, you say, hey, somebody went all the way across the desert and down through those great rocky mountains for hundreds of miles and did it with a horse and a buggy. I said, I just can't get a hold of that. Wow, that just blows my mind. Indian snakes, bears, everything. Just don't see how they could have done it. Days and days, no income, no food, no nothing. But they did it. But see, them people, if they'd have looked over here and seen the Empire State Building and these great bridges and these great structures that's suspended by cables, you know, and airplanes and jets and spaceships, why, that would have blown their mind, as the world said. And why, they said, no, that can't ever be. No, that couldn't ever be. How do you understand what I'm saying? But God has revealed Himself to us proportionally, step by step, thought by thought, down through the church ages, little at a time, so that He could develop our minds, transformate our minds, change our minds, get us out of this world, take us into another world. Cut off this natural appetite, take us into a spiritual appetite. Do away with this eyes in this world to make us blind to the things of this world, make us dead and dumb and deaf to the things of this world, that we might be alive over there in that world. He that seeketh to save his life, he to have his career and his education and his money and all these kind of things. He that seeketh that life here, he loses the life to come, because he is in that mind of carnality. And to be carnally minded is death, because Lucifer got in through the natural mind and he loves the things of this world. He savors the things that be of the flesh. And if you are like that, then you will die, because you don't have the mind of faith and the transformated mind, which is the mind of Christ that hath power over your body to take death out, to drive Lucifer out of it, and to make you an eternal creature. Christ in you, the hope of that glory. Now, so when you think of this, It is a state of mind. The Bible said, don't be weary and faint in your mind. Be not weary in well-doing in due season, that is at the time appointed, when you finish your course, after you've done all that you're supposed to do. Then he said that the house will completely be built, furnished, painted, glorified, everything will be ready for you to move in. For if this tabernacle be dissolved, this one that you have, the one that you have that comes from the beast, the one that you have that comes from the fall in the garden, if that tabernacle be dissolved, you've got another one. It's the tabernacle, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit, eternal in the heavens. It's not made with hands. So then, death is a state of mind. Life is a state of mind. Death is the state of mind that comes from Lucifer, the tree of knowledge. It is a state of mind. If you live like that, think like that, you will automatically believe like that. In unbelief, you're cut off from the Spirit of life, and the Spirit of life cannot fellowship you because of your evil heart of wrong thinking or unbelief. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. But there is that state of mind, that is the mind of Christ that lives in your heart, and your thinking will make you eternal because it will give you the faith of God that is in the mind of God, and it will change your body from within outwardly, from glory to glory, faith to faith. And I wish we had time to get into that. It'd take quite a while. Maybe we'll on the next lesson. But anyway, what I'm saying is, it's a state of mind. The Bible said God has put the world in your heart. That is, they that are not born again. The world is a state of mind. They that be worldly minded or have the love of the world in them, that is the desire of the world, the things of the world. To be worldly minded is death. The love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Because the love of the Father is love of celestial things. So then, God, having placed the world within your heart, by allowing the mind of Lucifer to be there, now when you're born again, that world is killed out. That world leaves you. Lucifer's cast out of the body. It's not in the body of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So the world, the state of mind, is taken out. And then comes the kingdom of God, the heavenly realms, are God's world. The state of mind, the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, in that mind is the faith. And I want you to listen just a minute. Now, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For they were shut up under the law, unto Calvary, or unto the faith that should afterwards be revealed. That is, after Calvary, the faith of Jesus Christ that stood the test, that was in his heart, that was in his body, that stood the test, that never wavered one time. After Calvary came the promised Son, or the promise of eternal life, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of Christ within Jesus, who never wavered one time in his faith. Now, that faith came, that mind came. When you come to Calvary, when you find the Calvary of your life, then that faith comes. If you receive that faith goes into your heart. It's a state of mind. For in that mind of Christ is that transformating faith. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Translated by faith from within outwardly. From within outwardly. And that's all I'm going to state tonight, just to bring it to that point, from within outwardly. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Now, if you don't want to die, then what I'm telling you is a matter of life and death. If you don't want to die, you don't have to die. But if you don't want to listen, then you will die. It's up to you. You know, whatever you want. We're going to stop off right here, and we're not going to say any more about it. Just bring it up to this point. But I want you to ponder on what I've told you. Try to enlarge upon it. Think on it. And then when we come back again, we're going to keep this subject up about life and death. And we're going to take it on a little further if Jesus allows us to do it. Enlarge on it a little more. Make it a little clearer. Bring out a little more revelation concerning it. And these basic principles that we've tried to lay down tonight, you can take those and find an escape, if you will. All right, let's stand together. You love the Lord? How many of you would like to live forever? The song says, anybody here want to live forever? Say amen. If I know what death is, if I know where death come from, if I know the cause of death, why is it that I could not escape death? I can. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, can you? If you know the cause of death, if you know what death is, if you know where it got started, if you know how it functions, then that means that you know enough about it to know what to do to eradicate it or destroy it. But in this particular instance, Jesus has already done it all for you. So then, what is to be done after you learn about it? The thing that is to be done, He's already done it. All you got to do is learn about that too. And then accept that in full confidence and faith. And then it's all over. So, as we talk, many of you will never get it because you've not listened in the past. You've not believed it. You've not really believed what I said. You've not cared enough to deny yourself, to change yourself, to be a new person. Let old things pass away and let all things become new. You haven't cared that much. You had to mix a little darkness with the light. A little gossiping, backbiting, fault-finding, just had to tell it. Had to pity yourself because of your daughter, your son, your mother, your daddy, yourself, your plans, your programs. Whatever. Stirring yourself up in the wrong way for monetary gain, the love of the world, and whatever. Trying to mix just a little bit of you with him will never work. There's got to be a complete eradication of you that he might live. And if there's any of you left, then that means that you're going to be drafted. That's the beauty of what God has done through creation. He has made every man and woman a sovereignty. He has made every one of them a mind, and they can live the way they want to. They can live like pigs if they want to, or they can live like a king's son and daughter. They can be any kind of thing in their world, from a backbiter to a murderer. It's all within their state of mind. It's within their world. It's in their world. Their world consists of whatever it might be. And like I said concerning the demon spirits, it might be springtime in my world. The birds might be singing. Sun might be shining. It might be beautiful. In your world, it might be a dark, dismal day of a storm. And the storm clouds may be there. The storm raging and the lightning flashing, and you don't know how to get out of the storm to find a place of covert. Whereas the Bible said that he would be a covert from the storm. But like the songwriter says, till the storm passes over, you can just let Jesus hold you in the hollow of his hand till the storm passes over, and then that's all there is to it. And that's all death is, just a storm. A lot of things that we'd like to say, a lot of things. But I'm just trying to take my time from night to night to talk to you a little bit. Because when I preach at you and I drive, you seem to get inspired, but you don't seem to transformate or grow into that mind. It has to be explained. It has to be detailed. So that each one of your thoughts can transformate into that new thought. Until your mind's completely programmed to a complete change of state of mind. That becoming a new state of mind or a complete different state of mind, you become heirs to the kingdom of Almighty God. Enoch translated by faith that he should not see death.
Okay, let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Give me another key, Frank. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Thank you, son. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Can you sing one more time now? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Let's just lift our hands up together. Love Jesus tonight. I'm going to ask Johnny if he'll come and pray the closing prayer and pray for you tonight.
Pray that God will touch your body and your spirit.
If Johnny will. If Sister Betty, some of them will bring a couple of prayer cloths along. We'll pray over them tonight. I've got some oil there that Brother Fontaine wanted me to pray over. I'll anoint those cloths for you. While you've got your heads bowed and your hands lifted up, Brother Johnny comes. Let him pray for you tonight. Folks, take what I'm saying serious. Believe me, the rapture or the translation is taking place. It is. I tell you the truth. I lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The translation is taking place. It's been taking place. In a little while, it's going to be over. And the Antichrist will be here. The tribulation will be here. And you will be left. All because you're waiting, some of you, on a word called rapture that's not in the Bible. Just because your preacher said it, it don't change God's word. Because 10 preachers said it, it don't change God's word. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the way to go and what to do. Those that believe will be translated. Those that do not believe shall be damned. The Bible said, he that believeth not shall be damned. So then, our brother is going to pray that God will keep you from being damned. Open up your hearts and mind. For when the soul is cut off, life is gone. That is what damnation is to be cut off from God. The soul to be cut off from life. Brother Johnny.